The next matter on today's oral calendar is State of Minnesota versus Amy Kathleen Sparks. And I think we have a certified student attorney here representing the appellant. When you reach the podium, both counsel, please identify yourselves for us. Counsel for appellant, you may proceed.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. My name is Ryan Wilson. I'm a student certified attorney here representing the appellant, Amy Sparks. And this is my supervising attorney, Ted Samsel Jones. The appellant's Fourth Amendment rights were violated when the police obtained 3 months of her electrical consumption data from Xcel Energy without a warrant. The home is where we have our greatest expectation of privacy. And searches inside of a home are presumptively unreasonable. In Kylo, reiterating its long line of cases, the court held that all details about a home are intimate details because the entire area is protected from prying government eyes. The court has held that there is a firm line that exists at the entrance to the house, and the police here crossed that firm line when they obtained information on the appellant's electrical consumption data. The Fourth Amendment has never been tied to a measurement of the quantity or the quality of information. As in Kylo, the defendant's activities there were how much heat he used, whether it was how much heat he was using in an absolute sense or relative to his neighbors. Those were protected activities because they revealed something that was happening in the home that the police otherwise couldn't have ascertained.
Mr. Wilson, can I ask you, would you have been making the same argument prior to the Carpenter Supreme Court decision being made as it relates to the records, the electrical records in this case that were used?
The defense counsel, the lower court, did not make this record, but Carpenter clarifies the extent to which the third party doctrine does or doesn't extend to records in which a legitimate expectation of privacy remains.
Would you believe that, as the dissents did in that case, that it broadened that perhaps to the point, I think one of the dissents said it arguably left Smith and what's the other one?
Miller, Your Honor.
Miller cases on life support. So your point being it greatly broadened it to the point where perhaps the third party exception, the records would have been in the third party would not have been a claim here, but because of Carpenter, therefore, we need to look at that more closely as to whether these were an invasion into the home such that it ought to be suppressed.
Well, I don't think Carpenter changed the law, but rather delineated how far Smith and Miller did or did not extend. As the court said, they have never approved the use of administrative subpoenas when the defendant retains a legitimate expectation of privacy in that data. And so this isn't a new rule that came out of Carpenter, but a clarification, again, of how far Smith and Miller extended, especially in the modern digital age. And so we're not advocating that Smith and Miller should be overturned. They weren't overturned by the Supreme Court, but rather when a defendant retains an expectation of privacy in those records, when those records are not voluntarily conveyed to the third party, then the third party doctrine doesn't extend to those records, as was the case in Carpenter. And so the antecedent question here is whether there remains an expectation of privacy in one's electrical consumption data. And so in Kylo, the court said, when using infrared sensing goggles, that revealed information that the defendant wanted to keep private, in particular, how warm or how relatively warm his house was to his neighbors. Likewise here, the appellant wants to keep private her information on electrical use, how much electricity she used relative to her neighbors.
Well, obviously she would, right? I mean, if she was growing pot, which she was apparently, she certainly would not want that information to be given to anyone else.
Yes, Your Honor, but what was being ascertained from her electrical consumption data, just like in Kylo, was the use of lawful growing lights, which consume a significant amount of electricity. So this wasn't contraband per se that the electrical records were revealing, but the types of appliances that she was using in her home. And so
did she not voluntarily, when she decided to obtain electrical service, which in a day like today we're happy to have, for those suburbs that didn't have it last night, I understand, and maybe this morning. The only way for which she can have that service is we are going to bill you for that, and we bill it based on your kilowatt hours. Therefore, we will keep track of your kilowatt hours. And she said, okay, that's fine. I mean, isn't that essentially what those third-party cases really, Smith and Miller, are referring to? She voluntarily obtained this service for which she reasonably would know they have to bill her, and to do that, they need to keep track of her kilowatt hours, which would then reduce her expectation of privacy on that very record.
Your Honor, the court in Carpenter addressed this issue regarding cell phones, and they said cell phones have become such a modern necessity of life, looking back at their Riley case, and said that it's not reasonable to ask that, you know, somebody doesn't have a cell phone. And the Seventh Circuit, in one of the few federal appellate cases since Carpenter, said, in no meaningful way does one voluntarily assume the risk of turning over a comprehensive dossier of your physical movements by using a cell phone, that it certainly goes that a home occupant does not assume the risk of near constant monitoring by choosing to have electricity in their home. So this is different than, and the court may someday say that internet or other types of utility services are services that that we can't do without, but electricity, in no meaningful sense could she sign up for electrical service and make a choice to be able to convey that information to a third party. And so what we have here is the equivalent of the police coming into the appellant's home and going room by room, determining what appliances are plugged in, how much current those draw, and then staying there for 3 months to determine how long they're on and off to be able to sum up in total what her total kilowatt hours were for. That's the only other way that they could know this information. So what Carpenter says is they can't go to a third party and use their surveillance techniques if they can't have used them on their own. And so, and that applies when there continues to be a legitimate expectation of privacy in those records. And so the court should also be concerned with where the technology is going. As the rule is set down in Kylo, this court should not consider, must take into account more sophisticated systems that are already in use or already in development. And so while the information in the warrant revealed the number of kilowatt hours per month, as mentioned in our brief, with smart meters coming in, these are able to measure down to 15-minute or to minute intervals. And so although the information itself is protected by the Fourth Amendment, just like how warm or not warm in Kylo the house was, the court should look to where this is going, which is the ability to determine when appliances are turned on and off, when particular appliances are turned on and off, as we see in figure one of our brief.
Let me ask you this, counsel, with respect to that issue of smart meters. I think in Naperville, the Seventh Circuit case, the decision issued since Carpenter, that case does involve smart meters. And our case does not, correct?
Correct, Your Honor.
So does that matter? Is smart meters enough of a factual distinction for us to be persuaded that the rationale and analysis of Naperville are not compelling and persuasive? I know they're not binding on us, but...
Your Honor, no, it doesn't matter. And again, whether we're looking at Kylo or in Carpenter, in both cases, the technology there was imprecise. In Carpenter, the cell site location information could only pinpoint a defendant to, on average, about a two-mile radius. In Kylo, there were vague heat signatures in the house. But in both cases, the court was concerned about where technology was going. The court in Kylo talked about developing a rule, that would be an unworkable rule, whether, when these infrared cameras can identify an object that's 36 inches in length, and then we draw the rule. And they said, no, as a categorical matter, any information about the interior of a home is an intimate detail. And so this court should be concerned about, again, the proliferation of smart meters and where that's going. But
okay, well, let me ask you this. I mean, I, as noted, the federal court is not binding on this court, but our own Eighth Circuit in McIntyre concluded that the defendant did not have a reasonable expectation of privacy in the electrical usage records for his residence. So you're suggesting that we depart or not embrace that line of thinking and embrace Naperville?
Yes, Your Honor, yes. We contend that McIntyre was wrong when it was decided, overemphasizing voluntariness, and it got wrong whether that information was voluntarily conveyed. We think the analysis in Naperville is more accurate. But again, in Carpenter, the court talked about the mechanical application of the third-party doctrine, and that's what was happening in McIntyre, is that it was presumed because it was to a third party that there can be no retention of expectation of privacy in that data.
Mr. Wilson, let's talk for a moment. Let's assume that we exclude the records, the electric records. Is there not enough for probable cause anyway when you, and I'm just looking at the search warrant now, the postal check, we know it's marijuana with the dog sniff. Apparently they must have their own dogs, and then they follow her to the home, or the person who's delivering it who hands it to her, who goes to her place, so there's no question. We got this place, this marijuana, and then they add the reference to the conviction, apparently, or arrest, maybe a week or so before, if I understand correctly. Did the officer need the electric records, even if we were to agree with your argument, that there's still sufficient basis for probable cause?
Oh, Your Honor, when we see when we review the district court's determination on whether probable cause existed, the defense counsel argued a staleness issue at the lower court. And what the district court judge used to find that the information was not stale was specifically the electrical consumption data. So without that, probable cause would not have existed. And the respondent in their brief concedes this point on page 6 when they discuss how both the electrical consumption data combined with the other evidence jointly is what found probable cause. So we do not believe that probable cause exists with just the young marijuana buds that were received in January.
Your point being is you believe the trial judge would have found it stale absent the electric records?
Correct.
And I thought I saw in the affidavit also the information that the magistrate had from the affiant that typically takes 5 to 6 months to grow marijuana plants. Would that not make it an ongoing criminal conduct, which would then eliminate the staleness doctrine?
Except that there was no additional investigation that happened from the time the plants began to grow until the time that the home was searched, except for the electrical consumption data. There's nothing in the warrant application or nothing in the record that said the police did anything other than obtain these electrical consumption data to support their warrant. And that's part of the concern of Carpenter and of Kylo, which is the ease at which law enforcement can obtain data from third parties or from its surveillance techniques not in general use. It doesn't require, as in Carpenter, they talked about putting an army of 1,000 investigators to be able to follow the defendant around for the 128 days. Rather, they were able to call up the electrical or the cell phone company and to get this data. And so part of what this balancing of the Fourth Amendment that the court did in Carpenter was weighing the ease at which this information is gathered relative to the need for the police to investigate. And here, similarly, there was no effort put in by the police from the time that the marijuana was initially received until the time that the warrant was applied for.
It doesn't seem to me that in your brief to this court, you are challenging the court's determination with respect to the staleness or lack of staleness. You're focusing on Carpenter and its application. Is that correct?
Yeah. Our argument is that once the electrical consumption data is removed, or as we said in our brief, sanitized from the warrant application, that probable cause doesn't exist in the warrant
application. Even with the other, yes.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. And so when this court, so we're asking this court to again apply the same framework that the court applied in Carpenter. First, is there a reasonable expectation of privacy in this information? Does someone have an expectation of privacy in their electrical usage in their home? And then second, does the third-party doctrine remove that expectation of privacy? And when the court in Carpenter looked at whether the third-party doctrine extended, there were two factors that they weighed, two rationales. One was the business record rationale, and the other was the voluntary rationale. On the voluntary rationale, we contend that that's the easier of the two, as it was there, no meaningful sense, similar to a cell phone, as when somebody plug in a toaster. Are they thinking that a record is being created somewhere, that they plugged in that toaster, or that they're using electricity? Similar to when one turns on a cell phone, they're not expecting that a record is being made of their location that then can track them over several days. On the business record, whether you look at Smith or Miller, the court was looking at the nature of the documents. And so in Miller, negotiable checks were being passed back and forth. There's an expectation that someone else is going to see that check. In Smith, when someone's punching in their phone numbers, decades ago, there used to be an actual operator that would see that and switch it, and now machines are doing it automatically. But there's another person on the end of that line that phone is going to connect. And again, the court has held that there's not an expectation of privacy when you voluntarily disclose something to another person. So here, again, when somebody plugs in appliances, whether they be toasters or heat lamps or televisions, one is not knowingly conveying that information to a third party. They're plugging that in to use that appliance.
Yeah, but you have to add to that the fact that they drugs were being brought into that house and they knew it.
That is true, Your Honor. May I finish? I see that I'm out of time.
Go ahead.
But the lights that were being used were not contraband, and she was able to lawfully possess those lights and to plug them in.
Thank you. I'll give you a chance for a rebuttal.
May it please the court, counsel, John Schmidt, Assistant Hennepin County Attorney, on behalf of the state of Minnesota. Appellant did not raise the electrical argument below, and this court should find that issue is forfeited. And then in ruling on the issue, the district court did not plainly err in denying the suppression motion.
Let me ask you this. With respect to our consideration of this issue, you don't disagree that we have the discretion to consider it in the interest of justice, do you?
I do not dispute that, and in fact, I think after finding it forfeited, you can go through, but it would be under a plain error analysis. Mm-hmm. And so I think the analysis would go, the issue is not raised below, it's forfeited, here's the plain error analysis. Did the court plainly err by not sua sponte raising the issue and denying the motion to suppress on an issue that was not brought before it? Was this such a plain error that the court should have independently caught this?
Let me ask you this. In not applying the third party doctrine, the Naperville court in the Seventh Circuit specifically determined that electrical users were not entering into a voluntary relationship to give up, just because it's a voluntary relationship. I mean, they weren't giving up their reasonable right of privacy. Why does that not make sense?
Naperville is distinguishable on the primary fact that this was a group of citizens of a nonprofit organization opposing a city's replacement of analog electricity measuring units with smart meters. So in that case, that was replacing the units on their homes and challenging that. And so they said the third-party doctrine doesn't apply here because there is no third party. This was a challenge directly to the city of an action that they're taking with the electricity. Here we do have the third-party doctrine. We have Xcel Energy as a third party that exists. Like the banks in Miller, Xcel Energy has a statutory duty to keep these records. And that is Minnesota Statute 216B.091. So exactly like it existed in Miller, the banks had to keep the records. The police were able to obtain those records, which contained financial information of clients and citizens who had no idea that their records were being obtained without a warrant in those situations.
Of course, that ultimately resulted in a change in the federal law, but...
Right, it did. But the doctrine itself still applies. that you do have the third party that exists and that you can get those records from a third party. But even beyond that, Xcel Energy makes their electrical usage available to the average citizen. As cited in my brief at page 20.
You mean I can get my neighbors?
Yes. Xcel Energy allows customers to compare their energy use data with that of their neighbors. I included the link.
You know, that's really annoying, but go ahead.
It is, yeah. And it's something that if you they give rebates, there's a whole sort of policy behind that. But Xcel Energy allows you to compare your energy usage with that of the neighbors. So it is available on public usage on their website. The police here just happen to get it directly from the utility. So it is something that the third-party doctrine does apply to this situation. But again, this should be under a plain error analysis. The court was only asked about the staleness of the issue. So here you would have to have it be such a error that the court independently stepped in and raised the issue of, well, what about your electrical records here? And why shouldn't we look at this? That just doesn't meet at least the plain factor of that this was such a big error, they should have sua sponte stepped in. But also, it did not affect the appellant's substantial rights. One thing I would like to clarify, as the appellant said in the reply brief and today here at argument, that the state has conceded that the electrical records matters, or we've conceded that issue, that was part of the probable cause determination. In the brief at page 6, that was the my recitation of what the district court held, the district court had ruled, and that was a part of the calculus in determining probable cause. In arguing that the appellant's substantial rights were not affected, I did make the argument to say, if you take the electrical records out of the equation, there's still probable cause to exist to validate this warrant. And that goes to the cases that talk about primarily about grow operations, that is a continuing illegal activity that is going on for a while. And in the officer's affidavit, he said it takes 6 months for marijuana plants to grow and produce a harvest. And within that time, they saw the package being delivered, hand out off to the appellant. The appellant brought it to her house, and within 2 weeks before this, she had just been arrested on similar grow operation charges. So even if you take the electrical warrant records out of that equation of the probable cause determination, based on a number of different cases, which I cited at page 22 and 23 of my brief, from the Fifth Circuit, 6th, 8th, 9th, 10th, they have said that grow operations are different. It's a continuing illegal activity. So the probable cause determination that of the evidence that existed in January from that affidavit would still be valid when the warrant was signed in June. Briefly, as to Carpenter and Miller, the U.S. Supreme Court was clear in Carpenter that it's a narrow decision that applies to cell phone location data evidence. And they said at page 2220, we do not disturb the application of Smith or Miller. The majority, at least, was very clear. And in the dissent, they did say that those cases might be hanging on a thread, but at least for the majority, those cases are still valid, and the Miller case applies to obtaining the records in this situation.
Clear about that. It seems, Mr. Schmidt, that the words they say that, I realize that, but when you look at the broad language, and Mr. Wilson's kind of pointing to that about the access to the home and information about one's, that certainly seems to defy the limitation. And, of course, the Naperville case is already an example where I realize the factual distinction, but is it not true that the analysis certainly has broadened in terms of understanding that privacy in the home in terms of third-party records and the types? Because that's essentially what the cell phone was. And I understand, too, they really spent a lot of time on the use of cell phones, but certainly electricity is the same thing. And the Naperville court kind of found that same reasoning applied.
It certainly could be an extension, and Carpenter could be moved beyond what it is. But at least in the majority, they are very clear that this applies to cell phones. And they said this is different from those other cases. This is different from obtaining bank records like in Miller, where people's private information and financial records are out there when you're getting all these records from the banks. And so they said something is different about cell phones and the tracking of cell phones, where you're holding basically a computer with your entire life in it in your hand now, that now includes exact locations of where somebody was at any particular time. And they said with that, you do need a warrant. But with the third party doctrine as to other things, they said this is a narrow decision and we're not disturbing that. But also in contrast to Naperville, the Fifth Circuit since post-Carpenter in the Contreras case has decided that internet service provider records did not run afoul of Carpenter. So you have the Naperville decision, which is customers going directly against the city with the city changing how they're running their electric utilities, versus United States versus Contreras, which is a criminal case and talking about internet service provider records obtaining from a third party, and they said Miller still applies, and that does not run afoul of Naperville. But even in Naperville, it was the collection of the data in that case was determined to be a reasonable search that did not violate the Fourth Amendment. So the language in Naperville certainly helps the appellant, but in terms of what their ultimate conclusion was slightly different. I think the Fifth Circuit decision is more on point to the issues that are before this court in terms of post-Carpenter analysis. Unless the court has any other questions, I think the brief sufficiently covers anything else that I might say today, and we'd ask that the court affirm.
Is this a case of first impression? Would you say that or not?
I suppose, well, if the issue is adequately preserved and before the court, and we're in a plain air analysis, within that plain air analysis, I think we could say yes, at least for Minnesota, this is a issue of first impression. But again, we are in the world of a plain air analysis. And within that world, there are things that could have been developed at the record if we're challenging the electrical services timing, one being whether the smart meter makes a difference. That could be a factual distinction. There could be some testimony on that that could bring that to light of whether that matters.
But still, you have to have some probable cause, don't you? You know, to initiate a deal like this where you're waiting 6 months to see if there's going to be a grow?
You still do need, for it to execute that warrant or to get that warrant 6 months later, yes, you still do need probable cause. And there are cases, which I cited in the brief, that say grow operations are different because it is an ongoing criminal activity combined with her prior going into the house on a valid warrant, prior being charged with that crime, watching the marijuana being delivered to her house, all of that combined with a continuing illegal activity would amount to probable cause, even if you take the electrical records out.
You know, as an Xcel consumer, I don't recall being asked by Xcel Energy if I minded whether my electrical usage be put on a website. Does it the fact that Xcel has chosen to do that, does that change my reasonable, legitimate right of my expectation of privacy for purposes of an analysis like this?
In some ways it does, because the information is out there and it's available, and you can compare your own energy usage with that of your neighbor, even though you didn't consent, your neighbor didn't consent. So in some ways you...
So you're saying that because that is the case, I don't have a reasonable expectation of privacy.
At least it's lowered. I'm not going to say that there's none, because certainly Kylo says there is reasonable expectations of privacy of, you know, with the infrared use in that case. But it's certainly somewhat diminished given the fact that just the electrical use is available to the public, and you know, the police did actually obtain the records here specific from Excel rather than going through the website, but.
Well, even if they went through the website, it would still be Excel providing the information.
That's correct.
So my usage, MPNL tells me, is pretty high, higher than they think it should be. Does that mean that they can go to the police and say, you know what, this guy's got too much usage, so obviously there must be some rationale behind it, so can we go in and check him for beer or still or marijuana?
That alone is not going to be sufficient. If you're just looking at electricity records alone without anything further, is not sufficient. If you want your heat to be at 100 on a day like today, your electricity is going to be much higher than perhaps your neighbor who likes their house to be a little cold. So that alone is not sufficient. But when you combine it with the fact that she had been charged previously with grow operation with lots of marijuana removed from her house, it combined with the fact that they watched marijuana, her take the package that they knew contained young plants and drive it back to her house where she was conducting the prior grow operation, that's where you get the rest of the records, where it all comes together for probable cause or at least reasonable articulable suspicion to continue an investigation.
But you've made the argument that even without this information, there's probable cause.
Correct.
And so what's the need for this information?
It's just to continue up on the investigation. I mean, the police probably could have gone to the court and said, we would like a warrant now. 6 months later, we believe, you know, now she has a harvest given on the prior actions that she had done. But given that they wanted to continue in the investigation, I see my time is up, if I can finish this thought. Thank you. They went and wanted to get the records to continue the investigation, and so they wanted to be prudent in this.
All right. Thank you.
We ask that you affirm. Thank you.
Any rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor, a couple things. On the link regarding the use of your neighbor's data, I'm not an Xcel Energy customer, so I wasn't able to test it out, but it appears as if it's an aggregate of your neighbors in the area. I don't know that it allows you to find this specific neighbor. Nothing I could find. It would certainly be against the terms of service in the Xcel Energy contract that one can find specific information.
Well, you can bet I'll be looking.
Yes. Separately, on the plain air analysis, plain air is determined at the time of appellate review, not at the time of the district court's decision.
And that's under Kelly?
Yes, and adopting this U.S. Supreme Court's similar holding. And so therefore, this court should apply Carpenter as it applies today. The question is not whether the district court judge could have sua sponte come up with this argument on his own. And so appellant here should get the benefit of Carpenter. Regarding the Fifth Circuit case on internet service provider data, when someone is browsing the internet, similar to dialing a telephone, they're doing an act, and it's reasonable for that person to know that that information has to go somewhere so that a website can come back to them. That's distinguishable from, again, plugging in an appliance in the home. That's a unidirectional act. You plug it in, it starts working. One's not thinking that somewhere the police are able to then gather a chronology of all of the things I've done over the last 3 months, or however long they want to look back to be able to determine what someone's doing. So ISP data is distinguishable from electrical data. And if there's no further questions, Your Honor, we would ask that this court reverse.
All right, thank you very much for the argument. Another interesting case on the calendar. It is taken under advisement. Thank you. And we will recess because our oral calendar is concluded.